Welcome to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post-game edition. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas. Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
Joe Woll makes 41 stops and a Nick Robertson goal puts the Leafs at 10 double-digit goal scorers. But a late push isn't enough as Carolina is just too stingy and the Leafs fall 2-1 to the Hurricanes. We're back on Split the Defense, Leafs postgame. I'm Webby here with CP and producer Ted in the booth. The Leafs beat up on the Oilers last night, clearly had no gas tonight. It just wasn't clicking, couldn't get a bounce. Thumbs up this episode, subscribe to our YouTube, rate us 5 stars, and get her going in the comments. Why don't you tell me what you thought of this one, CP?
Well, Carolina's a good team. they seem to have Toronto's number. I think it's like 8 in a row they've won, something like that. Like, it's just crazy. I mean, Freddie to me is just such a good goaltender. Most of his struggles have been like injury-wise. So like you see really like, you know, what we used to see as Freddie as a Leaf. Carolina, I think I would hate to face them in the playoffs. I think like they're just such a good team, like top to bottom. They got a really good structure, good defense, like good team buy-in. It's like, I don't know. I would hate to come up against them. So hopefully that doesn't end up happening.
Yeah, well, they still got a whole mid-city forward group, but they definitely have a strong structure, definitely all buy-in. And the new acquisitions are adding to that in Jake Ensel and Kuznetsov. And it's really showing this Carolina team is a force to be reckoned with since the trade deadline. Even a couple games before that, they really started finding it. So adding these two guys and them clicking, Carolina Hurricanes are a scary team to go up against tonight. So we had some new lines. We had Bertuzzi back in, we got Brody back in, and Lyubushkin back in tonight. Why don't we start off with the top line? What did you think of Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi together?
It was okay. I mean, like, they didn't really get much going. Like, this was kind of the, like, example of, like, where it can be such a, like, hot night one night, and then the next night, you know, like, Matthews, it's not, like, there's a lot of effort there from him. It's just couldn't get things going. Like, not a lot of cycling in zone. It's a tough one, really. Like, I don't know. It's hard for me to really come up with much, like, of an analysis. Like, just based on, like, Carolina's, it's like, structure just kind of counters Toronto pretty well. And, like, Toronto had, like, good waves, and Matthews, like, had some chances, but most of the chances were like, you know, he was going to have to make like an incredible shot. Like, you know, it's not necessarily any like easy tap ins. And wasn't like, this felt a little bit like the post game where like they hit 7 posts, but it's like, it just seemed like nothing was kind of generating in a different way. Like, I don't know. What did you think?
Well, you live by the gun, you die by the gun. You can't give up goals that early. They start off another game like that. You know, I don't know what to think about this team, because it's either they come out really, really hot and they score in the first 20 seconds, or they lose the game in the first 20 seconds, or, you know, maybe not necessarily lose it, but put themselves in a hole. So it's kind of hard to judge the team on how it is, because they're either good or they're bad. You know, seeing tonight against Carolina, like I said yesterday, this is a playoff matchup. Like, even if For sure. Carolina's may not be the team that we face, may not even get that far, but like, they play the kind of hockey all regular season long that is successful in the playoffs. And, you know, it's not so much holding on to the puck. It's more grinding. But, you know, having the guys that they do now that can make these plays, you know, it's Carolina's definitely a team you wanted to match up against tonight and play well. And I just think that maybe the back-to-back fucked that up, because the Leafs didn't really play well. They didn't look great to me. I will say, like, a lot of bounces didn't go for the Leafs tonight. Every time Carolina had a, like, here, let me try this, it seemed to hit off somebody's leg and get behind the Leafs, and they were in the offensive zone. And on the other end, the Leafs couldn't get a bounce to go their way all night long. And consistently, like you just said, Matthews was tied up tonight a lot. Like, he didn't really get a lot of clean looks. And then there was a whole bunch of, you know, off the back of the goalie sitting in the crease and off the bar. And it was just a messy, messy night. So I really don't know what to take from this game. You know, I'm not going to shit on the Leafs. Like, they just beat the hell out of the Oilers last night. Carolina's a good team, and I still think the Leafs could pull it together and do damage in the playoffs. I don't think this game tonight decides the Leafs' fate for the playoffs.
No, like, it actually, to me, is like, it's not like I don't like to lose, but like, it was only 2-1, and like, the structure of the Leafs was pretty decent. But like, the two errors are really, well, I guess one error is like, McCabe makes a pass to no one, right? And then yeah, the other one, like, it hits off his knee or leg or something and deflects into the net. So like, in total, I'd say it was like a pretty good, like, defensive game from the Leafs. Like, they let a lot of shots on net, and Wall played amazing. Like, we didn't do first star, but he would have been mine. Cause like, really kept them in it. And so it's like, it's not all loss. Like, this isn't a game to me where I'm mad at the team for a like poor effort or anything. It's just a better team than Edmonton.
And it could have went the other way, like, several times. Like, how many opportunities did they have to bury where they were just inches from cashing? I mean, at one point, Liljegren misses a wide open net. Frederik Andersen's flopping around on the ice like a fish. Like, we're playing Chell 24 and the pressure meter's way up. He's just flopping all over the place. And so the wide open net, Liljegren just fires and goes wide of the net or over the net. Like, it was just, you know, they had so many opportunities. It's not like they got completely massacred or murdered. They're coming on a back-to-back, and, you know, Carolina's a good team. So what can you really take from it? Not much.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than last time they played each other. They didn't blow, like, a lead or anything. So, like, I'm happier with this loss than that one. So, yeah. Speaking of, like, the wide-open net from Liljegren, like, it's a little off the, like, moving topics, but, like, how many times did Freddie Andersen just get, like, destroyed in net? Like, by mostly his own team. Like, one was Bertuzzi, but, like, no wonder he's hurt so much. Like, they really don't take care of him. Like, I honestly could count probably, like, 4 or 5 times where, like, their own player, like, just, you know, right straight through him. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. No, that's not good, though. Yeah. That's not good at all. Well, Frederik Andersen's got to be used to that because he got a lot of that here in Toronto. The Leafs, they pointed out tonight that the Leafs D-Corps, there wasn't a guy under 6'1 on the D-Corps tonight, and that was Morgan Rielly. And Timothy Liljegren, I think, weighed the least, and he was just a few pounds less than Rielly. Big boys back there now, but that always wasn't the case. So, you know, Frederik Andersen's used to dealing with this shit. And his health issues haven't necessarily been because of that.
No, yeah. A little tongue in cheek by me, but yeah.
But yeah, I think he's doing just fine. But in the first period, the Leafs give up 13 shots, 15 shots in the second period, and I think it was another 15 in the third period. Yeah, no, it was 14 in the third period. So they really didn't have a good period all throughout the game. There wasn't a single period. Would you say there was a period at all that the Leafs won tonight?
That one, no. Like, yeah, no.
They never looked like they were the better team.
They played, like, better than Carolina for stretches, but, like, in total, like, it felt like Carolina controlled the game. And, like, where you say, like, it could have gone, like, the other way, like, it could have, but it would have been one of those games where that friggin' stupid deservometer would not have been in the Leafs' favor, so... it's just, yeah, like, they had the chance to kind of change the tide, but Carolina deserved the win in my eyes. They played the better game for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So what about that Robertson penalty that he took? Whacking the puck out of the air in the offensive zone. Like, I don't even know what he's trying to do. It was like he's playing a pinata. It wasn't even baseball. Like, I was going to call it a baseball hack, but it's more like hitting it over the head. It's like swinging an axe down a wood. I have no idea what he was doing. He scores a goal after that tonight. Does that make up for the stupid play? And how are you feeling about Nick Robertson? Is he the odd man out?
I mean, yes, he is the odd man out. I think that, like, it feels good that he got a goal, but, like, that play before that is the exact reason why he's not in the playoff lineup. Like, he should have taken a line change before that. And then he just goes to, like, decides that hitting a puck, even if it isn't a player's head there, like, that's getting blown down anyway. So like, and I don't know, that was the worst play. Matthew Nyes was on that shift and his expression said it all. Just like, he couldn't believe that Robertson did something so stupid. So, and that was a bit of a momentum killer too. Like the Leafs kind of had like a few back-to-back shifts that were good. And then that happens. And I mean, yeah, if everyone's healthy, there's no spot for him. Even like Reeves, I don't think there's a spot for either. Like both those guys, I think I'd rather Gregor in because like he makes like some mistakes, but he's been kind of keeping them not too like so detrimental to the team. So yeah, like I know, right? I think Robertson's just kind of, he is who he is. And I think that scoring is great, but he's not fitting in this lineup. And so whether he fits next year, maybe, but I still am on the boat that I think that this guy should be shipped out, and probably like this deadline was the time to do it, but we'll see.
So Timothy Liljegren skated 22:43 tonight.
Played a lot with Riley.
And he played a lot tonight. That is more than Jake McCabe, who skated 21:22, who was playing with TJ Brody. Now TJ Brody only saw 17 minutes tonight. What did you think of Brody's game? And obviously, Lily's getting a little more time and a little more trust.
Yeah, this is like, I'll start with the Liljegren. So Liljegren is like, Keith did exactly what like we said he shouldn't do, and is like, start pushing this guy up the lineup, because like that's normally when things start to go awry a little bit, and especially with someone like Riley that's not going to cover for him like someone like Edmondson would. So I thought it was like, when I first saw it, I thought it was a little dicey, but they actually did like fairly well together. It was a pretty decent combo, and like Keith is doing his old thing again too, where like he's just trying to win a game, and so whoever's playing well, and that's Liljegren tonight and not McCabe, I think that like he's just going with the guys that are doing it. So I don't like it, because like I want to find pairings that are going to be the playoff pairings, and it's not Riley and Liljegren. That's not a pairing that I think is a playoff spot. So I don't know, like, I just hate when he starts tinkering to try and win games when, like, down the road, it's not what's beneficial for the team. So, and then Brody, like, not necessarily a great game for him, like, not necessarily a terrible game. I thought, like, he made quite a few mistakes, and he looked kind of rusty for being out for only two games. It's one of those where, like, it was the...
Is it rust?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think that he is the seventh defenseman currently. And like they've held
might
on
even
for
be the
so
eighth,
long
because Timmons looks really good.
Well, yeah, that's pushing it maybe, but maybe,
I mean, Timmons has looked good the last few games, and honestly, it's not like your track record does not fucking matter this time of year when we're going in the playoffs. It's what have you done for me lately? And if you're hot and you're doing well, like, you're in first. Like, you know, I mean, maybe Keith is going to ride that, but he knows Broads has been having a tough time. Broads knows he's been having a tough time. Like, sure. It's not a secret. Like, everybody knows. So, like, I think that, honestly, at this point, he may even be the eighth guy, and he's just going to be filling in on these back-to-back games, and I don't even know how many more of those there are. I don't think we see much more of TJ Brody on this Leafs roster.
Yeah, the thing is, like, if they're a one-round team, then that's true, but, like, everyone always says, like, you need eight or nine defensemen to win a playoff, like, to win the Stanley Cup. So, like, I guess it depends how deep their run is. You'd see them more and more as it goes on, so.
I love your optimism.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see a lot of TJ Brody this playoffs, just maybe not in the first round.
Yeah, because you have to, yeah. Exactly, 10 games, you know, maybe in 25, that'd be nice. Yeah. Anyways, so what else do we got here? Joe Woll, okay. Edmondson putting his hand on the puck in the crease. Good move or bad move?
Pretty decent move, I think.
Paid off, right? Yeah, so if it didn't pay off, if the puck went in the net, I think you would have said differently too. But I think we both agree that the juice was worth the squeeze.
For
right?
Sure on this one. Yeah, like, because the puck didn't go on the breakaway. It's kind of like when you take the too many men penalty, like on purpose, kind of, you push it because otherwise it's going to be a breakaway. You know, so like felt like that to me, like you're taking, and I'd rather a penalty shot than a penalty. So it's one of those two where the ref, like I don't know, is that how it's written in the rule book? I guess is how it is. And
yeah, it is, because it would have been a 5-on-3 at that point as well. So they dodged the big one there.
Yeah, big time. But yeah, that's just another vet move by Edmondson. Like I don't know. Not many players, I think, make that right decision. So the only thing is that, like, are you allowed to punch the puck? Because, like, a lot of these guys that make the mistake to put their hand on the puck, like, there's always the opportunity to just keep your hand on your stick and punch it. So I'm not sure what the ruling is.
Split decision.
I'm pretty sure the rule though is hand on top, over the puck.
Yeah. And he clearly had his hand over the puck.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, man, it's hard at that time. I think he probably didn't mean to cover it the way that he did. And it's just hand-eye coordination, split decision so quickly. That's what happens when you reach for the puck and try and push it. But you know, like, I'm not going to say that he like tried to go and cover the puck. And,
oh, I think he
you know,
did.
Take it like some sort of ball or whatever, you know, yeah. Roll it across. But that's not what happened.
I think he knew what he was doing. Like, he knew it was going
to
be a penalty.
I think it was kind of supposed to be maybe. Like this, but yeah. He ended up covering the puck. It was a split decision. It's hard to make that call. But we're lucky that it's a penalty shot instead of a power play, because the Leafs would have been pooched at that point. I think they probably would have blown the game then. Even though they lost it in the end, at least they were in it till the very end. It was a good fought game.
Oh yeah, like, still an entertaining. If that had gone into it, probably would have gotten away, like, especially interest wise, but play wise, like, they may have given up a little early too. So yeah.
So was the goal that was scored tonight on the power play?
I don't think it was. The one on McCabe was, yeah. Where it went off his leg.
No, the one that we scored. Ral Robertson's wasn't.
Oh, Robertson's, no, I don't think so.
All right, so we have not scored a power play goal on Carolina yet this year.
Yeah.
That's bad. Yeah, so hopefully we don't meet them in the playoffs, because we pretty much got us special teams-wise. Like, our penalty kill is brutal, and we can't score a goal on the power play against Carolina. You're fucked.
Yeah. I mean, they're just better all over the place normally. Like, it's been years, I feel like, now that they've been dominating. So, yeah, tough team to come against. I'm excited for the playoffs this year. I'm always excited for the playoffs, I guess, but it's just getting so close. Like, we got 12 games left, and I'm just, like, looking at all these teams that are going to be exciting, you know, to not that Carolina's the most exciting. They've been kind of one of the most boring teams to, in the past 5 years, but they're just, like, a strong playoff team. And like you said, the additions that they made, like, I'm probably going to be watching a few Carolina games more than I ever have, I think.
You can speak for yourself on that one, CP.
Yeah.
I will.
Don't you just watch all playoff hockey though? Like, it's like, it's so much better than regular season.
I pick and choose for sure. First round's a lot more fun. Second round, like, I think we've talked about this. I get butthurt. You don't watch the second round if the Leafs get knocked out, come back maybe in the third. But I don't know. Carolina, they don't excite me. I fucking hate the way they play. I hate their style. It's going to win. If they win a cup, then it's all going to blow up in my face, and we're going to have to buy into wanting to play like that. But, like, I hate it. It's so fucking boring. It's like, oh, it reminds me of the New York Islanders. Like, they're just so – they're not high event at all. They're very low event hockey, and that's boring as shit to me. So, I don't know. I hope that Carolina, you know, gets knocked out and we don't have to – mimic them, because, you know, it's a copycat league like every other league, and teams are going to be trying to copy whatever team wins this year like they have every other year. Like, what's the big thing right now? Getting big long defensemen like Vegas. Right? Yeah. And I mean, before that it was the, you know, modeling after the Avs, and before that you're modeling after Tampa, and like, hey, it's a copycat league. So I'm really hoping that the structure doesn't get modeled after if Carolina goes far, and, you know, hoping that they don't win the cup so that doesn't happen.
I'm not the total opposite, but I just love, like, nothing annoys me more than an unstructured defense. So, like, they make me happy, and they've kind of grown into, like, Natchez is a totally different player than he has been in other years. And now that you have Jake Guentzel, like, I don't know. It's not quite like the Islanders. When I look at them, I see more skill there than there has been.
Brutal. So we got Marner out till at least next weekend, I'm thinking. And Yarncroke's supposed to be back early April, but that's like 7 days from now too. So you think this team's going to look different for the last several games? Do you think there's going to be the regular rest because Mitch Marner hasn't played? You think he's going to play every game going into the end of the season here? How do you think this works out?
I would think so. Like, I've always thought that, like, there's at least a week from the time that he starts skating and practicing until he's back. So, I don't know. The countdown hasn't really started yet. The team's definitely going to be, like, any team that doesn't have Mitch Marner on it that could is different. So, like, even, like, this, like, the Leafs have been, to me, a little bit of more of a boring team since he's been gone. Because, like, he's the guy that, you know, does the cool stuff. Like, he creates space. He's, like, doing all the, like, stuff in the offensive zone. So, like, yeah, I like he's definitely the missing piece. Yarncroke, like, just gives us way more depth. And, like he's a penalty killer, responsibility down the lineup. And it's never bad. He doesn't, but I don't think he, like, necessarily changes the team. So, but Marner, like, no question. Yeah. It's been rough without Marner, to be honest. Like, I just, that guy is, like, I know this is the Nick Kyrgios thing, but. Like, he's the engine that drives this bus, and it's never, you can't, it's not obvious when he's in the lineup, but it sure is obvious when he's not. Cause, like, the last 2 minutes chasing a game, like, that's the guy you want, like, the puck on his stick. And
I know Matthews has made such a difference tonight.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Huge difference tonight. If Marner was there, they might have had a couple more goals, but really it's hard to judge this team right now with Marner being out. You know, a nice big win against the Oilers last night, but like, you know, you want to take away from the wins, but you almost can't take away from anything at this point. It is what it is, and we'll just have to see what this team looks like when it's back healthy. So we'll give it another week, maybe two, and then we got, you know,
like, what, four three games weeks, left.
3 weeks, yeah, worth of games left in total. So we'll be looking at the end of the season, and, I mean, they're pretty much guaranteed a first-round appearance. I think their numbers get, like, four right now or something like that, their magic number. They have to win four more games to be in, so... Pretty close. You got anything else on this game here tonight, CP?
No. The only thing, like, I would add to that is, like, this is maybe the one time that Mitch Marner will play, like, the games leading up to the playoffs. So, like, maybe that'll be good for his game, because he's always struggled to kind of get going initially. So, but he's also always sat, like, at least one or two. So, yeah,
and
maybe
that's
it will
what
be good.
I was wondering too. Yeah. Does it ramp him up and he maybe works better? And, you know, those last. Those kind of games at the end are always kind of garbage games, right? Like, you know, last year, I mean, like, Pierre Engvall was scoring goals and guys go on runs and, like, guys that you don't expect. Like, I can't even remember. There was, like, I think 1 year Freddie Gault went on a run at the end of the year. It was, like, the last 10 games. He looked amazing. Okay. But, like, yeah, it's just that the guys who aren't good, they go and they get their cookies. And that's the guys that end up with their 10 at the end of the year. You know, they score two or three in the garbage games when they get some extra time. But I'm wondering and I'm hoping that maybe, you know, Matthews sticks around because they want Marner and Matthews to start clicking again and whatever have you, and that it actually works in the Leafs' favor that he had to miss this time. So that way they're kind of ramping back up and in, you know, to their comfortability and at 100% when playoffs come. Yeah. But, yeah, so for now, that's a wrap. When are we back? I forgot to check that again. The Leafs play again on Tuesday against the New Jersey Devils, who are absolutely cooked. They are out of the playoffs and done ski.
Yeah.
But
beat the Islanders today, I think.
Did they beat the Islanders today? They're still cooked. They're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, shutout.
Oh, they're
win.
Cooked. Yeah. Kakinen
had the shutout.
Yeah. They're still of done. Course. And, you know, the Islanders were cooked last week.
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
it's a couple of cooked teams.
Yeah, those teams are just. Pooched. So it was a battle of the mids tonight, but just, you know, whoever wants a worse draft pick at this point going home for ego. Anyways, we'll wrap this one up. Split the Defense, Leafs post game. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for commenting. Hit that like button. Subscribe on YouTube. Please rate and review the show. You can find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. Until next time, peace.
Peace.
Later.
Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post-game edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.